Aloha.
Hello and welcome. We're back from the BallerLifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. Thank you for joining us. Episode number 421 of the show. We really appreciate you listening. You should go, if you're a fan of the movie Remo Williams, you should go back and listen to a couple episodes ago. I think it was like 419 or 418. It's a pretty good one. If you love the movie Remo Williams, I feel like a lot of people do and they forget about it. So do that, because occasionally we review movies here. If you're not already, we'll get to this in a minute. We have bonus content that we do here every week. If you would like to get a little extra bang for your buck, you give us $5 a month and you subscribe to our bonus content via the link on the show notes of whatever app you're listening to the show on. You can also go to theballerlifestyle.com and click the link at the top of the page. There's a lot more to hear there. And don't listen to the haters, because they're wrong. Additionally, you can reach out to the show. You can send us an email, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. You can call us, as many of you do. Somebody's been conspicuously absent lately. I think we might have hurt his feelings. 949-464-8257. TBLS is the phone number. We appreciate everybody that reaches out. It's really sort of the backbone of the show. It's, you know, it breaks things up. It gives us, it makes us pivot off what we normally talk about to what you guys want to talk about, which is always fun. I am joined now, as always, by Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, how are you, buddy?
Doing well. I received from like five different people today the link to a story about, a French soccer player that was kicked off the team for excessive farts and laughter.
Yeah.
A guy named Marcelo, and he was booted from Lyon, which is like a real team. Like, that's in the Ligue 1. Right. But that's like one of the real teams. But the first thing that you should always know when these situations happen is he was of no use to the team.
Of course.
Tactically. Of course. That's, like, you'll put up with all kinds of shit. Remember, like, the Albert / Joey Bell days where he was just, like, constantly causing trouble?
But he's the best hitter in the league.
Yeah. But he had, like, 160 RBIs, so you're like, yeah, you know what? We're going to put up. He's colorful.
Yeah. It's like, what's his name? It's like in Bull Durham when he talks about the mold on his shower shoes. When you get to the big leagues, you can be eccentric. But here, you're just disgusting or something like that.
Yeah.
It's true. Well, this is look, athletes, they're big children. So this is no surprise, you know, but it must honestly, like, because these guys are gross, like they're busting it left and right. If this guy had to be exceptionally stinky.
Well, I think I read that it was after a loss early in the season.
Yeah.
And because it came out in like he was released in August or something like that. It's just coming out now.
Yeah.
And so they like lost an early season game and everybody's supposed to be dejected and he's farting and laughing. And they're like, you know what?
Yeah. Yeah.
This guy stinks anyway. He's washed up. I think he was like 35, 36. Like, yeah, it's time to get rid of the farting, laughing guy.
Yeah. It's like Yasiel Puig, you know, he's a pretty good player. But then when he's hitting 200, it becomes a big deal that he doesn't wash his hands when he comes out of the stall in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
You know, but before they could overlook that because he's throwing guys out from the warning track every game. But after a while, you know, that gets old. If you're not carrying the team, you know, they're over that stuff. They could have released him without adding the detail about his excessive gas.
But like, if he got released months ago, 7-8 months ago, whatever it was, then maybe it was like a leak, like somebody else.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, August of 2021.
Yeah, that was quite a while ago.
So somebody was like, you know what? They said inappropriate behavior, and then I guess after some digging.
Well, it's got to get old, you know, like.
Right. He's probably known as the farting laughing guy. Like, it's not a good thing to be known by.
And especially, you know, if he's doing that on the bus in close quarters, it's one thing on the pitch because it's wide open on the pitch. You don't have to worry about that much out there, you know, but it's you're in an enclosed. You're coming off a loss. You got to bus it back to Nice. For a couple hours, you know, it's like, hey, like this is, you know, have some respect here, Alphonse.
I think Marcelo, maybe.
Marcelo. Either way.
He's Brazilian, dude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No.
I mean, they have fun, but they're kind of feral, too.
Yeah, they are. They're a little wild. He's going to have to go back to, you know, where this a South American league where they tolerate that a little bit more.
Right.
Yeah. No, people were sending me that too. I saw it. So Ed, remember we gave away my wedding crystal?
Yes. Comic Sans.
Comic Sans, which was very, it was high end. It was a high end item. Yeah, it was engraved. I know. Yeah. I know people don't like that we've been talking about this too much, but it was a high end item and almost nobody participated in the thing.
Yeah.
And so then last week I'm like, hey,
if this is the bum wine?
Yeah, the first person to leave a review gets the bottle of bum wine that that my girlfriend's nanny gave her for Christmas. And a whole bunch of people left reviews like right away. So congratulations to Fado's, old friend Fado's, who gave us 5 stars. And said, still the best hour plus I spend every week. Brian and Ed have only gotten better over the years. I've been a listener since the beginning and still look forward to the show dropping every Wednesday morning. The show is always funny, crass, irreverent, and on occasion, thoughtful. Fados, send me an address and I will autograph this bottle of
bum wine,
Stella Rosa something, and I will pack it very carefully so it doesn't break, and I'll send it to you and you can display it in your home as an heirloom for your children.
Keepsake. And then for all that missed out on that lovely prize, remember there's a t-shirt for the first song submission.
Yeah. Maybe I didn't look really at the voicemails, but maybe there's one in the voicemail. But if you first person to submit a song, preferably for our sports.
Yeah.
Segment of the show, something to do with sports, so we can intro when we talk about sports here. If you do that, if you record a song, Ed will send you the get in, we're doing butt stuff shirt that showed up at his house anonymously.
Yeah, like you don't put a note with that. I mean, somebody it's out insane. There, it's gotta be one of the listeners that I gave the address for some other product over time because my friends would want credit for that.
Yeah. Cause people have sent us stuff over the years. And so we've given out our addresses to have things shipped. So, you know, it's problem is it's been so many years. It would be hard to do the whole process of elimination thing to see who it might've been. Cause we've definitely had many things sent to us over the years, but you figure somebody would want credit for that.
It gave me a laugh, but at the same time, it was confusing. I was like, but there's no note. There's nothing. It just not even like the receipt of the company that it came from. It was just a t-shirt and like a cardboard envelope type thing.
It didn't come. It didn't like wasn't directly. You know how you order something from Amazon to someone else? Like these guys that send us Pearson salted nut rolls, like Super Lee, the hero Super Lee.
He
orders them on Amazon. And I feel kind of stupid because I'm like, oh, send me those. Because I think you could only get them in Minnesota. And then he's like here they go.
Minnesota Amazon.
Yeah. He's like, here you go. And it's just like an Amazon link. And I'm like, oh, I could have done that myself.
I feel like a real ass when that happened.
Yeah. I just thought it was, you know, I thought it was like Rainier Ale. Like you could only get it if you're in the area, but apparently not. So, but it was sent directly is what you're saying. The shirt.
It was, but I don't think anything stood out about the return address. If there was one, It was just a t-shirt. Came out of nowhere.
No, it's almost like a little bit scary. You know, like I would be a little like, I'm like, hey, is somebody watching me?
You know how like in mob movies and stuff, they show somebody like a potential witness. They show how they can get to you.
Yeah, it's the same.
Like that's somebody like letting me know.
Yeah, that's what it is.
We're watching you.
I had this greasy teen like across the street. And I came home one day and he was like in his backyard, but the fence is kind of low and he was leaning against his own house and he was like looking directly at my house. And I'm like
in a Deliverance kind of way,
a little bit, but it was kind of like, there's like a green belt next to my house that like goes, that like takes you to like a little trail. So he was kind of like gazing off in the distance, so he had some plausible deniability as to whether or not he was looking at my house. Then a couple weeks ago, I'm home early for some reason, and I'm sitting upstairs. It's just Shay and I are home. We're sitting in the bedroom just talking. I had just gotten home, and randomly there's a knock on the door, and she goes down and answers the door, and she opens the door, and it's the same greasy teen. And he's like, hey, he goes, hey, did anybody lose their AirPods? Because I found these AirPods. And he's just like offering them up, like in case we lost them. And I'm like, no, that's a total. He's coming over here to do murder.
Yeah. I mean, I know that used to be a thing. Yeah. Like, hey, that's the doorbell. But that's no longer a thing.
No one does that.
No stopping by.
You know what you do? You post to next door where you go, hey, did anybody lose the these AirPods? And then the first five comments are like, well, if Biden wouldn't have an open door border policy, maybe an illegal alien wouldn't have stolen your iPod. And it's like, no, I'm just like, did anybody lose these? But yeah, we do that virtually now. We don't do it in person. So I was thinking he was coming over here to do the R word to the females of my family or to just kill us. But I was home. Right. So he had second thoughts. Luckily, he's since moved.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah. So he's stalking someone else in his new neighborhood, I assume, but he was,
that's the new neighborhood's problem now.
Yeah, it's not my issue. Well, I mean, I could post about it on Nextdoor maybe, but the problem is people would respond to me if I did that. So that's, you know, I don't want to hear about the homeless and the open door border policy and stuff. I just want to let people know there's a greasy teen that drives a Suburban with a Steelers sticker on it that might be looking to do murder. And he'll come to your door pretending to have found some iPods, AirPods, AirBuds.
As we've discussed, like political discourse is not what we do or want to do. But I had a friend who's I'd say more conservative than he thinks he is.
Yeah,
try to send me like, oh, check out this op-ed about somebody disparaging George Washington. I was like, you know what? This is not the week that I'm going to debate a fucking op-ed, buddy.
Yeah, like not interested.
Yeah, like yeah. Of all weeks, like this is, you just don't have the ammo to be coming at me this week.
Yeah, no. You know what I saw this week? I saw The Northman. Are you familiar?
I watched it.
Yeah. So
he's beautiful, by the way.
He got on the Thor plan because
he is like his traps, every muscle. You can see every goddamn muscle.
You're the second person to mention his traps. Yes. He was so jacked, so vascular, so gorgeous. I liked the movie. It was a little long, but I saw it with my son and he's like, they kind of needed to set up what he did at the end. So it wouldn't be, he wouldn't have had as much motivation. And I'm like, okay, I get it. Like they had to set up. And I thought like all the performances were really good, but I didn't realize until they started calling him Hamlet that I was watching Hamlet.
Well, I didn't either. I read that like Hamlet was maybe based off of this.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, this was like a famous Norse mythology thing that I didn't know about.
Right.
But
it's pretty good.
But it was pretty good, but I agree it was like a little bit long, but yeah. I'm on board with anything where revenge is on the table. Who doesn't like a good revenge story?
I love revenge pictures. I love them.
Where are you at with the is it the Queen's Gambit, King's Gambit? What with that
the
woman?
The chess chick.
Yes.
It's not really my deal. The eyes, she's got, her eyes are further apart than Britney Spears.
Yeah. I think she's a good actress.
She's pretty good.
But I'm seeing in her a lot of stuff and I'm like,
yeah,
I think I'm a little creeped out by her.
Yeah, a little bit. Maybe,
I don't know. No, but she's a good actress. She's good.
I get it. I like how they like CGI. Everyone in it is good. You know who I was? Well, of course, Willem Dafoe, who's always great.
Like always best.
Yeah, he's so weird.
He's like delightfully odd. He's never. He can't be normal.
No, he can't.
The most normal probably was Platoon, where he was kind of playing pretty straight. But every other movie, he's bonkers.
Yeah, he's such a weirdo. He's so good. I thought Ethan Hawke was good.
Yeah, that was his father, right?
Yeah, he played the father. But like that was kind of like, I don't like. The whole Hamlet aspect of it, like we all agree now. With 600-700 years in the past, we can say that Shakespeare's kind of bullshit, right?
No.
Like, no, come on.
No. Yes. No, in no way, shape, or form do I agree with
come
that.
Come on. No one can understand what they're saying.
Ye old English is a little tough, but I'm saying like this dude's stories, the framework have been used for a million things. Like the fact that he constructed stories that are still adapted today. Like I'm still on board with him in theory, but I don't sit down and go to the show. Although I did watch the Denzel Macbeth on Apple. It looked kind of cool, but I struggled. If I wasn't watching the screen, I struggled to know what they were talking about.
Yeah, you needed subtitles. Because, I get that it's real sing-songy and it's, like, beautiful. It's lyrical in the way it's written.
Iambic.
But nobody can understand what they're saying. Like, nobody knows what that shit means.
Yeah. But it looked, visually, Ethan Coen? It was one of the Coens directed Denzel. So, like, you had a good-looking product, whether or not always. I understood the dialogue.
Yeah, absolutely. And then finally, the news broke today. I need someone to explain this to me. How are people interested at all in Tom Brady? He just got
the
biggest contract ever to be a fucking player or analyst
because
for Fox.
Aikman's gone, right?
What's that?
Aikman's gone?
Yeah, Aikman went to ESPN with Joe Buck.
Okay.
So it'll be whoever the main guy is, Kevin Burkhardt and Tom Brady after this year.
Yeah.
But I feel like people need They Live glasses to see what's going on with Tom Brady, because he's such a fucking zero in the personality department. Like he is a fucking empty vessel.
You wouldn't have Derek Jeter be the color guy for that same reason. Like a very famous, successful athlete. It just doesn't necessarily translate to anything more than that.
Right. And you see like Tony Romo's good because Tony Romo is a guy with personality.
Yes.
You know, it's not just that Jim Nance hates his guts because he steps all over his fabricated pre-made lines, but he's good. It's not just because he's explaining the game to you, but it's that he has some charisma involved with that. Tom Brady is charisma free. He's a good football player, but he doesn't have to talk when he does that.
Yeah. I don't
never get it,
but I also don't understand the fact that he's playing this year. So they're saying nobody can step into that spot for a year. So if the number one team, I have no idea who they choose.
Me either.
But if somebody turns out to do a good job and they're like, this could work.
Right.
And they're like, nope, we've already locked in Tom Brady, who's not going to be good.
He's gonna be terrible.
You know who's not good? Troy Aikman's not good.
No, he's not. He's not.
So they clearly don't have a problem with zeros.
Yeah, that's a good point. What's his name? Drew Brees. He's horrible.
The best part about him was watching the hairline.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, no, it returned. He got a new hairline. He got just like Witten. He got all new hair to be on TV. And you're watching a game, he'll go like 45 minutes without saying a word. He just sits there in silence. And now he's going to be paired with Somonex Tirico, who's like barely audible. He's so fucking dull. This says Jonathan Vilma. He cannot be the number one guy.
I think I've seen Vilma in the studio for college football in the past. I think he was decent, but I have no idea about him in games.
Right.
But I mean, Tirico, yeah, he's less fiery than your typical Italian guy.
That's true. Usually they're a little more animated, which is weird. You figure being purely Italian, growing up Italian, that he would have more to offer. Okay, let's talk some sports.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I might own Troy on DVD.
I do like the idea though of like walking up to somebody in a number 12 jersey and got the hat and everything and just real fired up. They got the like fake 6 Super Bowl rings and just being like, hey, and handing them a pair of glasses like they live and just being like, take a look now. And they look through the glasses and they're like, oh my fucking God, he's a boring person. Yeah, that'd be great.
That would be.
Yeah. What's going on in sports, buddy?
RIP. This is a sad one.
Always sad when somebody goes before their time.
One of our RIPs this week is not so sad.
Oh, that's exciting.
Not in sports, though.
He won't laugh no more. He won't smile no more. He won't laugh no more.
Yeah.
And you won't fuck no more. So dearly departed, we hope you rest in
peace. Hope you rest in peace.
RIP ex-Michigan State star center Adrian Payne. He was 31. He was teammates with Draymond Green. I was just reading about the full account.
He got shot.
But he of course he was in Florida. He and his girlfriend were called to mediate some sort of dispute. So I think his girlfriend's friend wouldn't get beaten up. And this guy, he was like 6'10", and the other guy was 5'11", and he started like talking in stand your ground rules and just shot him, and he wasn't armed.
Oh, no.
And he's like, oh, I felt threatened by him. And there's eyewitnesses saying he didn't have, he wasn't indicating he had anything. He wasn't threatening. He was just saying like, you know, you got to stop this.
Oh, that's so sad. He's going to get off. This is why you never go defend people.
But he didn't pull a Zimmerman because there were multiple witnesses.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, that one old man that was standing his ground in the movie theater got off in Florida. And he just fucking shot a guy for answering a phone call.
That was stand your ground?
I think so.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, it was in Florida and he fucking shot a guy and he was armed and the other guy wasn't. I don't know. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that.
But yeah,
that's very sad.
Yeah. Like he was called to mediate some sort of situation, which, you know, even if he was there for the muscle, he was the big dude called on to be like, yeah, don't let this guy beat the shit out of my friend type thing.
Yeah.
And he got shot and killed.
Very sad.
Very sad. Rocky's scoreboard operator was working through some feelings in their game against the Nationals, and this was on the Rocky scoreboard. Life pro tip. Don't put up with anyone who is reckless with your heart. Life will be dramatically better if you don't pay any mind to any heartbreaker, unless it's the Pat Benatar song or the Mariah Carey song or the Led Zeppelin song. So to sum up, song form heartbreaker, okay. Real life heartbreaker, tell him to scram.
See, this is like the Bard right here. This is fucking, that's like Shakespeare, completely unintelligible. Like, it's not even in English. I don't even understand what he's talking about.
I think it was lovely. I mean, who doesn't like that Pat Benatar song, Heartbreaker?
It's okay. I like the Led Zeppelin one.
I have no idea the Mariah Carey, but I'm guessing it's terrible.
No, you know it. It's a.
But Zeppelin song rocks that.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, he's not wrong about that, but it's like he's maybe gets like, if you really have a message to get out there, maybe get some help from somebody that's actually good at communicating, because no one understands what you mean, crazy person.
He's sad. He got dumped right before the game and it's not working.
Yeah. That's kind of sad.
Somebody else who's sad. Clemson coach Dabo Swinney.
His
brother was arrested for distributing child pornography.
Every time somebody gets outed as a chomo like this, I mean, the picture, you look at the picture and you're like, oh, this guy's a fucking child molester. Like, he's like, you could see him from space. Like, of course this guy's guilty. Look at him. Look at the face he's making.
Oh my God.
Also,
is he in a barber chair?
That's what I'm saying. Like, what? How come in his mugshot they put the drape on him like he's about to get his bald head shaved?
He's either getting a bald head shaved or he's getting x-rayed at the dentist.
Yeah, he's covered up. Authorities were tipped off after a call from the National Center for Missing Exploited Children began an investigation. Henry Swinney. See, he gets to have a regular name because Dabo, his name's David, but he goes by Dabo. Henry Swinney allegedly shared and distributed the material through a mega file sharing link. Oh, that sounds like child porn. Per his arrest warrant. Now, I get that you get off on. I don't get that you get off on. Like, I get that you're a deviant. What's
sharing?
Yeah, what's the motivation to share this stuff with other people? Like, you've acquired it. Okay, you're disgusting. You should be in prison. But no one would know you had it if you weren't giving it to other people. Is there like some kind of? I guess because then you get some in return, right? You're trading.
But my question for file sharing child molesters is pretty similar to people handing out the Watchtower. Like, why? Like, what does my participation matter to you? You can have your thing.
Yeah.
Why won't you stop knocking?
Well, they're required. The Watchtower people, and boy, I actually do like when they come by because they have a real fresh face Kenny Loggins Jesus that they do worship.
The pictures are pretty great on that. I accepted it one time at my friend's house, and the mom like yelled at us. She's like, "They're never gonna leave us alone now. You shouldn't have taken it."
I feel so bad for them because they're always dressed so nice, and because that's part of it. Like, you have to preach in that religion. So even like,
but you're not even in comfortable. Like, you're not in sneakers. You're in
dress shoes,
and you're walking. You're doing a lot of walking on the pavement.
Yeah, like Prince was a Jehovah's Witness, and Michael Jackson was, and the Williams sisters, I believe. And it's like, I'm always kind of like hopeful that they would come to my door. That would be cool. But I do like catching up with their Jesus, because they got a white Jesus that they like, which is cool. He's got like a haircut, like he's like Jesus going to a job interview or something. He looks so good. But my understanding of their religion is, heaven for them is capped. It's
there's a numbers game there.
Yeah, it's like a concert when they're like, actually the fire marshal says we got to shut it down. There's too many people here. So in Jehovah Witness heaven, I think there's like a number, and it's like, it's pretty low. It's like 75,000 people or something. Well, let's look that up because we don't know what we're talking about. Let's see.
So
Jehovah, that's a word. Oh, it helped me. Jehovah Witness heaven. Hold on. Beliefs.
You know, this
heaven Google, capacity.
This Google search is like setting off the bat signal. You are going to have the Watchtower people showing up.
Well, Mike, I'm in a gated area. So they'd have to park outside and walk through the thing. But
you can stand your ground.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 144,000, Ed.
That's it?
Yeah, the anointed. Based on
in
their understanding. I know.
Or,
that's right.
Or to go.
Yeah, no, I think that's in some.
Because hasn't there already been like 10 billion people who have died?
Yeah.
And so are they saying only Jehovah's Witnesses can get in?
Jehovah's Witnesses believe salvation is a gift from God attained by being part of God's organization and putting faith in Jesus' ransom sacrifice. Ransom?
Ransom?
I don't know.
I've got your logins right here.
Yeah.
50,000.
Yeah, you see? Yeah. They do not believe in predestination or eternal security. They believe in different forms of resurrection. I mean, this is like Shakespeare to me. I don't understand it. I just want to know how many the anointed. Based on their understanding of scriptures such as Revelation 14:1-4, Jehovah's Witnesses believe that exactly 144,000 faithful Christians go to heaven to rule with Christ in the kingdom of God. They, with Jesus, will also perform priestly duties that will bring faithful mankind to perfect health and everlasting life. They believe that most of those are already in heaven and that the remnant refers to those remaining alive on earth who will be immediately resurrected to heaven when they die. I remember I was in high school. I don't want to give this away. How do I do this? Well, no, it doesn't matter. These people don't remember me. I remember I was in high school. We would like all hang out at this one table at lunch or something, or, you know, just like after school, we'd all just kind of like congregate before we went to our sports or went our separate ways. And I remember I was asking my one buddy, I'm like, hey, how come that one guy is here hanging out with us and he's a cool dude? But when we're doing stuff on the weekend, when we're like at the beach or we go to a party or something, he's never there. And they're like, oh, that's because he's a Jehovah's Witness. And I was like, I felt so bad for him. Like, you're not allowed to, his religion kept him from being allowed to do shit.
I was not like close with the kid, but I knew a kid in high school who's very nice. And like, I knew a little bit about what the religion was up to in that, like, no birthday parties, no holidays, no, there's like a lot of like just capping the fun. So I hope he's one of that 144,000.
Me too. Like if you give up, like you never get a fucking single Hot Wheel. You're never like, hey, my birthday's coming up. Maybe I'm going to get a PlayStation. You're not getting shit because those holidays don't exist for you. So I hope you get eternal life. I mean, it's pretty select group. So, yeah, like you're saying, there's already been 10 billion people. You know, like we're not slowing down. There's 7 billion people on the planet right now. 144,000? Like, that's smaller than this little town that I live in.
That's a tough numbers game you're playing with.
Really is. It's kind of bullshit of God, by the way.
Right. Like, that's. I mean, he should give more signals if we're supposed to do that.
Yeah, he controls everything. He can do whatever the fuck he wants. He could be like, actually open it up, let everybody in here.
Right.
You know, Ted Bundy can come in, like all of them. George W. Bush, you're welcome. Come on in. Don't worry about it.
Cause.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause. Exactly. Yes. It's kind of, that reminds me. And we can move on after this. Stop talking about God. But I posted this to my Insta story because my girlfriend, I gave her like for Christmas, I gave her this print from this artist that she really likes. And she went to get it framed And she had an issue. The framing people fucked up. Like whatever they needed, like the materials that they needed to frame it were on the ships, and they like never knew. Yeah. They never let her know there was a supply chain issue. So she called up and she's like, "Hey, where's my thing?" And they're like, "Oh, where's anyway?" It didn't work out. So then she went. She's like, "Just fuck, you know, never mind." And she went and picked up her thing and left. But they sent her a card. And they're like, "Hey, really sorry. Here's a gift card to our company. You know, if you ever want to get something framed again, let's try again. You know, we want to do better." It was nice of them. But the guy signed it. And his sign off was "In his grip."
That sounds ominous.
Right. Like, so I could, you know, like, I could see like "in the Lord's name," like that's Jesus-y, right? Like "in his grip."
Yeah. Is Jesus giving out hand jobs now?
What right. Right. And, well, grip. Like grip? You're supposed to like, Jesus is love. You're supposed to like, you're supposed to be holding on to him.
If you love something, set it free, not grip it tightly. Exactly. Strangle it like Lenny, the rabbits.
Yes. Like King Kong and what's her name? Faye Ray.
Yeah.
Jessica Lang, like what in his grip? And I sent that out, and a couple of people were like, "Oh, I'm gonna start using that."
In his grip.
In his grip.
Yeah, that's scary. Yeah. Speaking of scary, Antonio Brown is back in the news. He slammed Colin Kaepernick as a trash QB and questioned his charity work.
This Antonio Brown. I also saw that he's not going to get, he needs ankle surgery, and he's not going to get it until someone signs him.
So he, well, can, that doesn't make any sense.
Right. He should have just not quit the team he was on last year.
Right. He could have gotten that surgery in December.
Yeah. He could have said, "Hey, my ankle hurts," much like Spencer Haywood on Winning Time.
Right.
I didn't realize, Ed, we talked about Spencer Haywood and his self-circumcision, and I was behind on Winning Time.
Yes.
And I caught up on it.
Why?
I didn't know when we talked about it that Spencer Haywood is played by Avon Barksdale.
Yeah, Avon. So I hadn't watched any episodes by then, and now I'm only like two away from finishing it.
Me too. I'm right there with you. Yeah.
I like it, but I had a few friends tell me it was great, and I watched the first episode and I was like, I don't know if I can do this, because it was like 60% Jerry Buss talking to the camera. I did not like it. I was like, this is no good. And then they settled down.
Yeah. Somebody else was telling me that today. They're like, "I can't watch it because of the fourth wall thing." And I go, "I get it, but they don't really do that much."
They almost don't do it at all. Like they'll just give a look or something like a Ferris Bueller look type thing.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's just that first episode, which is lazy storytelling. Like he'd be like, "See, Jerry West is an angry guy," and then they'd show a scene where Jerry West was angry. Like you didn't need to do that. But but overall, it's a good show. It's fun. And
yeah, it is good.
The actor that they got for Magic Johnson is great. Amazing. And Kareem's good Isaiah. Too. Kareem's good too, but I mean Magic is ridiculous.
He's so good. He's like so charming. He's just like the real Magic. Like
he looks the part, but a lot of times they cast actors that look the part, but don't have the same charisma. Like he's got it. He's that guy is great.
And they make him seem real tall. So I had to look it up. He's 6'3".
So just probably on like platforms next to Jerry West. Type stuff.
They say they do camera tricks where they always shoot from down below to make him look taller, but the Magic guy's great. John C. Reilly's amazing.
How about Michael Cooper? Looks like Michael Cooper. He's great. Pretty good, but he doesn't have a huge part.
Right. He's
and
good.
And then Avon Barksdale is just a great actor.
He's really good.
And of course he's great in that role.
Yes. No, it's I'm pretty into it. I've just been catching up on it the last couple of days. I have a couple episodes left.
Yeah.
But it's good. Antonio Brown's gonna kill himself, right? Like
I think that's the end game.
Yeah, it's the only thing.
But like, he's just been known to be a dickhead in many ways.
Yeah,
and it's like, what's your angle for shitting on Kaepernick now? Like, is he just trying to go MAGA? Like, what is he doing here? Why would he care?
Right. Yeah, Kaepernick's been out of the league for like 7 years or something. That ship has sailed.
Yeah, I don't know.
Tear down the guys that are still playing if you got beef with people.
Well, he's going to try his best to stay nice with Brady in case Brady asks for him again.
I don't think that's going to happen. He quit last year. I mean, he's got to go somewhere else, right?
Wait, did he quit on the Bucs or he quit on?
Yeah, he was on the Bucs.
That's the team he quit for? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I couldn't remember if he went to a new team and then quit. Yeah, he's a fucking lunatic.
Yeah, I don't see anybody sign him, especially if it's known that he needs surgery.
And he has a bad wheel. Like, what? Yeah. Oh, do you want the headaches and not the performance? That sounds great.
Look, we got, I don't know where he is. And I'm honestly, like, I would like an alert if I'm too close to him. But wherever Vontaze Burfict is right now, he did this to this guy. There's a clear line of Antonio Brown being the best receiver in the league and Antonio Brown being an absolutely crazy person. And it's the Vontaze Burfict over the middle smash helmet to helmet that knocked him unconscious and almost killed him. Like he's never been the same after that. And I imagine there's a lot of dudes with similar stories that just aren't as famous as Antonio Brown.
Right. Because Brown was like, I don't know for sure, but he was good enough to be like the cover of Madden type good. Like he was the clear cut star receiver in the league for a
absolutely. Years. Yeah, absolutely.
Katie Nolan said she explained why she was silent for the last half of her first Apple Plus broadcast because Major League Baseball broadcast because she was checking her Twitter mentions and got in my own head.
Yeah. Well, she did ask if the helmet was part of the player.
No.
When the guy got tagged on the helmet. She didn't know whether or not that meant he was out. Which is
so
like,
is this I know of her because she's had like a couple talk shows.
Yeah.
But is she like a Dennis Miller type that they want somebody who doesn't know the sport so well? Like, I just don't know enough about her.
I don't either. I think she was like a YouTuber or she was like a vlogger.
Okay.
Like for SB Nation or like one of those websites.
Right.
And then I think Fox first picked her up and then she went to ESPN and she's kind of like, This is a thing they try to make happen. To me, she's like the female Kyle Brandt. Like she's very broad. She's not especially entertaining or funny, but she has a pretty face relative to other chicks.
I am definitely not in the camp of like, hey, unless you play the sport, you can't.
Right.
Like Doris Burke played like high level college basketball, but still like, I have no problem with women talking or like, you know,
everyone loves Doris
or just like a guy who didn't play the sport that,
yes,
that, you know, is good at calling the games or analyzing the games. But I never understood. And he's kind of gone extreme. Once upon a time, I liked Dennis Miller, but when he went on Monday Night Football, I don't want somebody on the air who's going to know less than me and explain less than me. And it was so weird and forced. And now we get a lot of that.
It is weird. Cause I'm like, look, we do this. Like I'm into things that are entertaining and funny, you know, like I like that. But when you're watching a game, you just want somebody to describe the game.
I mean, that is what Tony Romo will do. He'll explain. You see the linebacker came up to the line here and he checked to that. Like, cause I don't know shit about that. So he's going to explain that.
Yes.
But when Dennis Miller's like, that's like the salmon of Capistrano. Yeah. And you're like, what the fuck? What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So
he went over the middle like he was D.B. Cooper.
Yeah.
Thanks. He disappeared. I don't know. Yeah.
Thanks, Dendo.
Yeah. It's a reach. And, you know, they've tried to make her happen a lot of different ways. And she's probably fine just like, As a vlogger or whatever she was doing before, you know, like people were she captured an audience, which, you know, most people can't do. So good for her. But like, let's not try to elevate somebody that's just doesn't have the chops. It's all about the chops.
And one of the things she said in that article, she said, well, I didn't talk because I was afraid I was going to get fired in my first broadcast. And it's like, well, if you don't talk, that's a pretty good reason to fire you. Yes. They hired you to talk. That's what you're there for.
You're supposed to talk. But maybe like have enough wherewithal to realize that it would sound pretty dumb to completely be unaware of the rules of the game that you're employed to call.
Well, somebody who's by no means lacking self-awareness, Papa John Schnatter, he claims that Jerry Jones and Dan Snyder asked him to get Roger Goodell fired.
I don't know where to go with Father John. Like, he's kind of entertaining.
I mean, hearing that the relationship of that trio, that they're all talking, I was thinking, my first thought was, well, that tracks. Those three guys, like, they really seem like the same kind of guy.
Yeah, I could definitely see them hanging out. I don't know, like, Jerry Jones is the one that has the power to get Roger Goodell fired if he wants to. I don't know how Father John plays into the.
Yeah, he's going to pull his pizza money. I mean, it's not Budweiser money.
Right.
He doesn't have that power. But Jerry Jones, I would guess, is he and like Kraft. Yeah. I mean, he's in the top three or four most powerful owners.
Yep. Yeah. He's like. Roger serves at Jerry's discretion. Like, he's probably the one guy with the juice because he leads and those other guys follow. You know, he's the one that makes these deals happen. He's the one that got the Rams stadium built, you know, like he's the straw that stirs the drink. So if he wants him fired, he could get him fired.
Not Papa John.
Yeah. He's just a pizza guy and he's not even that anymore.
Well, some would argue there was never really pizza that he was making.
Right. He's just the guy in the red shirt every day, in the red shirt and the red face.
Yeah, red face.
and the black hair and the giant gold statue of eagles mating in his living
that
room.
That is so bizarre. I implore anyone to pull up the Desus and Mero clip where they analyze his home, and it's pretty awesome.
That's got to be great, Speaking
of red, the hometown of the Cincinnati Reds, a Cincinnati marathon, I forget, it was called the Flying Pig Marathon.
Stop.
An official for that marathon said allowing a six-year-old to run the race was not the best choice. And the parents are like, he really wanted to do it.
Yeah. Remember we looked up one time, Pocket Hercules, Mini Arnold.
And because
he was like a 9-year-old bodybuilder and he was super jacked. And his dad was some kind of like Bulgarian or Eastern European dude. And
it was Eastern Euro.
Yeah. And he would take him on news shows and, you know, he'd be bench pressing 245s at 9 years old, and he's like, no, he loved to do. I know make him. He loved to do. And then we looked him up on the show, and turns out baby Arnold doesn't have a relationship with that father anymore. And he didn't love to work out. He was actually being beaten if he didn't work out enough. And now he's just like a chubby 20 something with a ponytail.
And he's in Venice Beach, right?
Yeah, something like that. And this, you know, I feel the same about the six-year-old. A six-year-old is not.
I mean, if there's one thing we know, and I think it was like the kid was running for like 8 hours, which.
Yeah, that's too long.
I mean, if I know six-year-olds, it's that they're not interested in anything for more than like 20 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't even legal. Like, you can't make a.
The race officials should not have an option when you're that age. But the parents, somebody needs to pay a visit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is, you know what this reminds me of? Is that Balloon Boy. Like, these people are trying to get a reality show out of this, much like the guy in Colorado that said his son was floated away in a homemade hot air balloon.
The sun.
Yeah. Yes, these people are bucking for a reality show out of this. Yeah. The parents of the 6-year-old boy who ran the entire Flying Pig Marathon spoke about the backlash they've been facing from people across the nation. Rainier Crawford, 8 hours, 35 minutes. Now, hold on, Ed. I'm going to tell you something right now.
What?
This is, we've talked on the show before about people that cheat at distance events.
Yes.
They always like lose the shoe tag that you're supposed to get, or like they disable it, or they do something just so they can say, hey, I did a under 4 hour marathon or whatever. It's a weird like bragging rights thing, because nobody gives a fuck that you ran a marathon except for you. It should just be a personal thing. But there's this whole subculture of people that cheat at these public races. I think this fucking kid, he's went home. He was playing a little Madden, and the dad's like, okay, let's go. Let's get, you know, get sweaty, run around the house a couple of times. And then the dad dropped him off and he ran like the last 400 yards of it. And they're like, Rainier Crawford, 6 years old. He did it. This fucking guy didn't do it. He didn't run this race.
I mean, eight and a half hours. You're not running much. Like what? No,
that's walking.
Point of this?
I could walk it much more quickly with my weighted vest. It also reminds me of, I've talked about him on the show, and I was an early adopter. I was one of the first people to discover this guy. Now he's blown up. Of course, I'm talking about the Liver King. Ed, are you familiar with the Liver King?
You've talked about him. I'm not familiar with him.
Well, the Liver King, he's this guy in Texas, and he's super jacked and very red. And he's like, he's one of these guys that lives like a primal lifestyle. So he only eats organs and meat and shit. And he goes out in the sun, gets the sunlight, and he's got all these things, and he eats testicles and whatnot to get him jacked. But once in a while, he'll post a video and it'll be Liver King, and he'll be like, he'll have the Liver family there, and he'll point out how his sons, they eat testicle too. And you see, especially the wife, you see her take a bite of that raw liver, and you could tell she's not too happy about it. She's happy about the hundreds of millions that they're making off their supplement line, but she's not super stoked to have to be eating testicle and stuff on video. And the boys, the Liver children, I feel are the same way, because like they take it to a level. They don't have any mattresses in their house. They sleep on wooden slats because even though they're rich, because that's how their ancestors did it. Their ancestors didn't have mattresses.
Oh, but, that's, well, that makes sense. Yeah, that's totally reasonable.
But we developed mattresses. Like we did. Now we have them. So.
Well, that's, like, you know, like the Amish, they just picked a point in time to just stop.
Just stopped. Yes. Yeah. And they're pissed about it. Like they're not, those young Amish, they go do that Rumspringa and they get fucked up. It's their one period that they're allowed to do shit. And I feel like this kid, and because it's a whole family, five siblings and the parents ran this marathon together. This is a Liver King situation. Like this guy, this flying pig marathon guy, he's trying to start some kind of social media empire, much like my guy, the Liver King. The best thing about the Liver King is in the comments on his Instagram. I would suggest everybody check it out. Because, and I'm a fan, like I'm not meaning to denigrate this guy at all, but he'll be like, yeah, he's like, you know, you got to follow the nine ancestral tenets, and you got to eat liver at every meal, just like our ancestors. And then in the comments, undoubtedly somebody will be like, where did our ancestors get Diana Ball? he's just heavily juiced, which is fine. I'm cool with that. But he's like, oh no, this is just clean eating and getting sunshine every day and working out. And he's much more juiced than the Northman Alexander Skarsgård.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And finally in sports, Lewis Hamilton got a two race exemption for the jewelry rule. And he showed off that he's a cool rings guy.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. So they made, I heard about this. They made some rule because he has a nose ring. I think because
what's the reason for the rule? Is it just anti him?
Yeah, I think it's anti him. People, people are like, Lewis is coming back to Earth because his team can't spend 10 times what every other team can spend anymore. And now he's like not finishing on poles. He's actually, or he's not winning poles, and he's not finishing on podiums. And he actually finishes behind his teammate most of the time, I think, which it wasn't that way before, but they made some rule because he has a lip ring and a nose ring. And they made some like no jewelry rule. I think it's kind of like when Allen Iverson would show up when he'd be injured, yeah, and he'd show up to the game. Race? What's that?
So it's race or like cultural related. Like what? Yeah. It has nothing to do with car racing.
I know, but it's, yeah, I don't, somebody should explain it to us. Cause I don't really know the reason, but I think they did make the rule. And so then he showed to protest. He showed up to the press conference with three watches on, like 10 chains and a whole bunch of rings, like more rings than Tom Brady. He's got rings on it, multiple rings on every finger because of that rule. 7-time world champion Lewis Hamilton will race Sunday Grand Prix. Race director issued a reminder to all teams and officials that wearing body piercings and metal neck chains was prohibited during competition for safety reasons and could be checked. Look, I mean, if you hit a wall going 180 miles an hour, I don't think the
nose rings is going to be the difference.
Yeah. Like what's like the great Ayrton Senna, when he lost his life, it wasn't a nose ring that took him. It was a piece of the suspension going through his helmet. Like that's what's going to kill you. I think this seems punitive. And honestly, it's, you know, I'm not an expert, but it seems a little racist to me.
Like, yeah.
The one black guy is the guy with the nose ring. And you're like, actually, no nose rings. Meanwhile, no one has a fucking nose ring except for the one black driver that you have.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
I'm the last, you know, I'm not a huge Lewis Hamilton fan, but still. Okay, Ed, let's do some emails or voicemails.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring and worthless. But he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than Ish. His thoughts are useless. Shit. He's back.
Okay, a couple voicemails here.
Hey, Brian and Ed, it's Drew from Houston. I'm driving back from Austin, and I was catching up on the current episode, and I was going to give you guys some insight on why the Masters, I think that it's become such a big deal. And I think
we had some questions. Ed had some questions last week about the popularity of the Masters and why middle-aged white guys love that tournament the most of the majors. And I really couldn't answer it other than it's at the same place every time. So this Drew, who's our golf correspondent, along with Darby in the OC, those are our two. I would say there are two golf correspondents here. It's Drew. He's got some answers.
It boils down to like white guy, aspirational, white supremacy, Southern, basically a bunch of horse shit. I think it's like, hey, son, one day you're going to grow up. And if you're good enough and you make enough money and you're white enough and exclusive enough, you too can, you know, enjoy such fine things in the South as Augusta National Golf Club.
Yeah.
I think that's how it became such a big deal. And then, of course, with the advent of the modern golf telecast, it's a beautiful production in the past. And then, you know, it's springtime and all that. But deep inside of all of that is like a Disney World, Main Street, like kind of curated crap that just old white guys love. And I think, and especially with golf and before Tiger and when it was just like really exclusive and, you know, kind of out of everybody's.
It is real off-putting when they show the, when they show the highlights, like before you could bring your own caddy.
Oh, yeah.
You had to use their caddies, and it's like, yeah, it's kind of uncomfortable. It's, I, you know, I wasn't paying attention back to golf.
I mean, I'm saying, like, my point from last week is my dad is not a golf watcher, but he watches the Masters every year. Right. I'm just baffled by it. Like, I see lots of beautiful golf courses, and I just never understood why this one, like, is it more difficult or is there something that is different? But he's kind of just saying what we were speculating.
Right. And I think because it's the first major, that too, those guys get
like Kentucky Derby versus Belmont kind of thing.
Exactly. That, you know, speaking of that, like they play the British Open, the Open, they call it.
Yeah.
And the fucking, does nothing but rain over there, and oftentimes it's raining, like, the whole
super windy and rainy, right?
Super windy and shitty and rainy, and the fucking golf course is always brown. Meanwhile, you come here, you go to Palm Springs, and it never rains. It's the fucking desert. It's 90 degrees, and it's just nothing but lush, green, beautiful golf courses. Well, like, how come
a lot of water? They're using a lot of water.
No, it's a lot. Yeah, it's really.
We can't, so somebody can't worry about droughts there because they're siphoning off lots of water.
How about all those bodies that they're all the barrels they're finding in Lake Mead?
Lake Mead? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I saw one. They're like, oh, yeah, we can date by this carpeting that it was from 1961 and stuff like that.
Lake Mead bodies. Second set of human remains found in Lake Mead. Oh, bodies surfacing in Lake Mead recall mob's time in Las Vegas. Oh, you mean now? You mean today?
Oh, the good old days where there were bad guys.
Las Vegas is being flooded with lore about organized crime after a second set of human remains emerged within a week from the depths of a drought-stricken Colorado River reservoir. Just a 30-minute drive from the notoriously mob-founded strip. There's no telling what we'll find in Lake Mead. I know, it's great. They're going to catch, like, they're going to pull these bodies out of these barrels, and they're going to figure out who killed them, and they're going to go fucking get some old guys. This is like when they found that, what they call that guy?
The California.
Oh no, he's good too. Yeah, the Golden State Killer. No, I was thinking of but that's a good example. I was thinking of the concentration camp guard that they found.
Oh yeah,
90 years old in Hawaii or Ohio.
And they just sent him off to jail.
Yeah, yeah, they're like, sorry, buddy. Like, this is,
you thought you got out of this one. We got
They'll get you. Eventually, they're gonna get you.
Yeah,
you know, that's. That's why that John Hamm's girlfriend and the Alabama escapee, she just turned the gun on herself. She's like, oh no, they got me. I'm out of here.
Hamm is still alive though.
Yeah, yeah, he lived. Did you know he was 6'9"?
Oh my goodness.
No wonder they, I mean, how are you going to hide when you're that tall?
Right.
You always notice a tall guy. Okay, thanks for that, Drew. Here's another voicemail.
Hello, Brian. Hello, Ed.
Oh, my God.
Hey, guys. I've been listening.
Oh, my God. Is this that real scary guy again?
I think he's laying it on.
Give me the chills.
He's doing the jigsaw.
Oh, my God, guys.
I haven't called in a while, and I think the show's starting to pass me, man. Maybe I'm getting old. I don't know. But maybe a month ago, you were talking about NFTs and apes. And I'm just like, man, did I fall off the matrix? What the hell are they talking about?
Well, we were talking about how we didn't understand that shit.
And you'll be glad to know that NFTs lost like 92% of their value last week. So,
yeah. It turns out that the people that were driving up the prices, it was like the person would put the NFT up and then buy it from themselves. to drive up the price, which isn't even allowed on eBay. Like, eBay figured that out in the fucking first days of eBay, but these NFT dorks are like, oh, I better pay $3 million for Jack Dorsey's first tweet.
And then 2 weeks ago, or was it last week, he spent an hour talking about some guy named Lou Vega. It's like, I had to Google him and I...
Oh, no, that's on you, buddy.
And he was huge like 25 years ago, 20 years ago.
Yeah, he's huge. Yeah. It's not like he's new. It's not like we're talking about Doja Cat over here or Jack Harlow.
This was the Whoop There It Is of 98 or whatever.
Yes. You know the banger.
Big song.
Unbelievable. Like, he's talking about us like we're agreeing with what we're saying here.
Right. We're the youngsters.
Yeah.
It was a real song. I didn't know. I thought it was a commercial jingle for wine coolers or something. But yeah, you guys spent an hour talking about that dude and how big his dick was and shit. And I'm just like, what the
hell? We never talked about Lou Bega's dick. Oh, yeah. Did we?
I think we did. First his feet, then his
Somebody feet. Asked. We're answering questions here.
You guys asked for the content.
That's right.
Oh, man. What is going on? Maybe I'll keep it short. You're talking about Gilbert Gottfried a couple weeks ago. Rest in peace.
R.I.P.
Great comedian, one of a kind, great stand-up guy. But one thing I will say that you forgot to mention about old Gilbert Gottfried, probably the world's loudest cummer in the history of time. Thanks, guys. I'll hang up and listen. Bye.
Who's that loud cummer?
See, I picture Gilbert Gottfried being a very subdued comrade.
I would think meek.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a little guy. He had a loud voice in his act.
Yeah. But I think his outside of the stage, I imagine him to be quiet.
Yeah. I wouldn't imagine him busting nuts loudly at all. I would almost say he would have no volume whatsoever.
He's not really a sexual being.
It's hard to picture. Like, he had children. I mean, you know, obviously, we're trying to be respectful of the man who's passed. He was legend.
Yes.
So I'm not trying to make fun of him. But I was stunned that he had a family.
I watched that documentary on him. It was good a couple of years ago. So I guess that's why I knew.
I might have to check that out.
It talked about how, like, he was as cheap as they said. Like, he had suitcases below his bed full of hotel shampoos and stuff like that.
Oh, I heard about this. He had, when he moved in, I think in his wife, in his her eulogy was like, when we finally moved in together, he had a room in his apartment filled with those little soaps, hotel soaps that he couldn't part with. Quirky dude, to say the least.
Yeah, he was an original.
Yeah. Okay. Email. Yo, B. Who you scooping? Casey Anthony or Amber Heard? I mean, this Amber Heard, we'll probably talk more about her later. I mean, she's a model.
She's beautiful.
Casey Anthony's got closer together eyes than me. She murdered a baby. Like, Amber Heard is just crazy. Casey Anthony drugged her own daughter to death. Like, I can't abide.
No.
You know, like, yes.
Also, I mean, I don't really like doing that. And this was your question, but I'm not a big scoop game. But at the same time, Amber Heard, like, became famous originally because she was beautiful.
Yeah. She corralled Johnny Depp. Do you think? Johnny Depp is just he just throws it out to anybody. Johnny Depp, his roster is just a top level roster with Kate Moss, Winona Ryder. Like, they're all there. He was married to a French model for many years. Like, Amber Heard, while nuts, is obviously the one you scoop in that situation. Okay, here's another one. Fast Eddie, who you peeping? Shh, hold on, I gotta fix my bank. Who you peeping, Johnny Depp or Bag?
Baby's choice, it's a choice I make. Baby's choice, watch me shiver while you shake.
I'll let me take a guess here at for you. Okay. I'm you. Who am I peeping? Now, Johnny Depp, of course, you do maybe the greatest Johnny Depp impression I've ever heard. So it's like there is some sort of homage there. But also, and we did an episode. I wish I remember what episode it was. Somebody should search, go back and look. I hosted an episode of this show with the two foremost, the world's foremost 90210 experts, Ed Daly and Travis Rogers. I got to think, you walk up to a urinal and you see David Silver, Brian Austin Green at a urinal. You don't even notice Johnny Depp is in the same bathroom as you. You're going right to what Bag is working with and what he was able to take Donna Martin's virginity with. Am I right?
I mean, you took the words out of my mouth. Of course. Sorry. Of course. But that's exactly what I would do. Yes. I mean, this guy, Vanessa Marcel, he's has a good track record and he's pretty dreamy and and I'm a big 90210 guy. Like this is no question for me.
He grew up to be gorgeous. He was the dork of the show. He was looking up to Sanders. Sanders was like, get away from me, loser. I'm driving a Corvette to high school and with my receding hairline. And meanwhile, Bag, he's wearing glasses. He's trying to be a DJ. He's got his buddy. What's his buddy's name that killed himself?
Oh, Scott Scanlon.
Scott Scanlon, who wore his Lakers hat above his hair on his head, which is probably why he killed himself.
You pretty much just saw the brim, the underside of the brim. You couldn't see the Lakers part.
It was so high on the head. Bag was the loser. Meanwhile, the show ends. Brandon stays 5'7".
Yeah.
Ian Ziering, Steve Sanders, he graduates high school in his late 50s.
AARP.
Yes. Bag usurps them all. He becomes the most beautiful. He becomes the real heartthrob of the show. Of course you're looking at Bag's dick.
Of course.
And to both of you, Anthony Kiedis, Fairfax High School alum, how fucking rich is this guy?
How fucking rich is this guy? I can't figure it out. I guess I'll try. Is he worth a billion or maybe just a million? How fucking rich is this guy?
Ed Daly, the lead singer, and singer, I do in air quotes, Anthony Kiedis of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. What kind of numbers this guy got? He's got to be very wealthy.
Just a couple weeks ago, I learned something about Kiedis that it was news to me. His dad was the drug dealer in the beginning of Lethal Weapon at the Christmas tree lot who like takes somebody hostage or something.
Yeah, his dad was like a Hollywood scenester, like, you know, B-movie actor, extra. And I think that's how Anthony Kiedis... Did he bone Cher or he got babysat by Cher or his dad was boning Cher? He had some run in with Cher as a young man. But yeah, his dad, Blackie, his dad was called Blackie something.
Yeah. So we were at this bar outside and whatever sporting event stopped and Lethal Weapon just started. And and like you see in the opening scene and he's like, hey, that's Anthony Kiedis' dad. Yeah. And I looked it up. I was like, wow. So anyway. Yes. Has nothing to do with the question. I'm always confused by bands, like how much
do they split the money
versus like solo artists. Artists, you can like really kind of figure out. I don't know how much is split, but I at the same time they have been famous, and even though I can't imagine that their albums are like super popular these days. They still, I always hear of them touring.
Yeah.
I'm going to say he's worth, $60.
You're pretty close if you wanted to bid about $100 million low. Because according to CelebrityNetWorth.com, which is never wrong, Anthony Kiedis' net worth is somewhere in the neighborhood of $155 million.
That makes sense. I just was trying to divide, like, but yeah, yeah, they made so much money and they still tore a lot, and that's where you can make money.
And they sold records when selling records still got you rich. So they sold a lot. They sold 80 million records.
When Foo Fighters drummer died, I saw a clip and they're like, here they're honoring Taylor, whatever. I forget.
Hawkins.
Yeah. And the clip was from a concert and it was a huge concert.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, man, these guys are still just cashing checks.
Oh, big time. Big time. Yeah. This, and apparently this is, and this is very popular these days. In May, just last year, May 2021, 1 year ago, the Red Hot Chili Peppers sold their music catalog, their back catalog.
Oh, yeah.
For $140 million.
Wow.
Yeah. Give it to me now.
Yeah. Like I saw Bruce did that. And it's like, I mean,
David Bowie did it when you
get up there, what are you doing with it?
And a lot of those deals are, it's like, we'll sell you our catalog for like 10 years, it'll come, or we'll sell you 51% of our catalog. So it's like you control it, but when you license the songs, we still get the money plus whatever you gave us. So it's like, it's pretty sweet if you're one of these guys that sold a lot of records. Like,
you know, who got none of it? I remember reading that John Fogerty got cleaned out, had none of the rights for anything. And that dude wrote a ton of songs.
He did. Yeah. I read that same thing. So that's why he's like every summer he's out like playing state fairs and has been
singing center field. Time.
Yeah. Yeah. He got fucked on some bad deal with some manager where he didn't realize it, but he gave away all his publishing. Frank Zappa always said, always keep your publishing. And John Fogerty did not.
Smokey Robinson lost his in the divorce.
Oh, fuck. How is that possible?
So, like, Smokey Robinson wrote it was like him and Marvin Gaye wrote all the Motown stuff.
Yep.
And yeah, he didn't own shit. Yeah.
Marvin Gaye was destitute when his old man capped him. I think that was mostly from crack, though. Mm. Hello, Brian, Ed, and Baller Nation. I know this is a little late, but I've been shockingly busy the past couple months. Been meaning to fill you and the listeners in on a little adventure that I had over spring break in March. This reads like it's a penthouse forum. I am a father of two high school daughters. Uh-oh, I spoke too soon. One is a graduating senior and the other is a sophomore. We live in an area of Houston where most kids from the surrounding neighborhoods attend a select group of private high schools. I mean, this could be a movie script. These prep schools are full of your typical whitewashed upper crust students from families of certain means and privilege. This group is straight from central casting. There is an unofficial tradition amongst these private schools that over spring break, many students make a senior trip to the Bahamas. Are you kidding me? Chaperoned by parents who organize the whole deal. My daughter asked if we would send her, and we had no problem. She's a great kid and deserved the trip to hang with all her friends. Surprisingly, she and her friends asked me if I would be willing to come to the trip to try to keep an eye on things and just be on the property in case shit went sideways. I'd say no to that. I don't want to be involved. I agreed. Bahamas legal age is 18, so they will be drinking and gambling and partying. I'm cool with Steve, a little concerned,
they're 18, but it's they're kids. So I could see the concern of like not really wanting to let your kid just go in that environment. Yeah.
Like as a kid, I have a kid that's almost 18. Like I would be into this. As a parent, I don't think I could sign off. Like this is just not. Yeah, I'm not comfortable with this.
I get the whole like 18, you're an adult, but you're still living at home. So you're still the kid.
Yeah.
You know, you're not paying your own rent at that if you're in high school.
Yes, totally. I'm cool with all this. Their group doesn't get too sloppy. And I guess it's part of it is trusting your kids. You know, like if you know what kind of kid you have and you know that there's not going to be so much enticement for them to get nuts.
Yeah, maybe he's thinking more, not so much his kid, but the Vandersloots out there.
Right, right. Well, yeah, that's the first thing I thought. My wife could not make the trip, so I'm going to be rolling solo. This is a part where he's like, the chambermaid came to my room and yeah. She was making eyes at me. And before I knew it,
she asked how many towels. Yeah. Before I knew it,
she had me in her mouth. The resort is the Baja Mar, which has three hotels on the compound, all connected to a casino with pools and restaurants. It's basically Vegas. Our kids are in one hotel and I'm in another. Kids arrived earlier than me on a private jet. One of her friend's dad is an oil guy and offered the G4 for 12 of them. Are you fucking kidding?
Jesus.
It's another world. I slid in on Delta in coach. Not exactly baller. I give my kid my room number, blah, blah, blah. I start hanging with a few others' dads I knew, and cocktails are flowing. Music is playing. Dance floor is packed. Kids are having a great time. What stands out, though, is how good of a time the moms are having. See, this is what I'm interested in. Full midlife shit show. Out of control even. Oh, yeah, no, this happens. These moms get on the wine. They get all together, and they get on the wine, and shit gets nuts. Mid to late 40s, rich white women, fresh cosmetic procedures, and they probably haven't had a carb since the Obama administration. I leave the party and head to the casino, win a little, drink more, and call it an early night. I wake up the next morning to a text from a neighbor who isn't even on the trip asking if I heard what happened. Divorced mom seduced one of the senior boys. Wow. Well, I mean, I'm sure he was willing. Started on the dance floor and in the elevator and ended in her room. There may be a video on Snap. Send it over, buddy. Likely. Holy shit, this is Brazzers. I think we get the point. Young kids, banging the moms.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a different world. Like this is
not my world that I know.
Yes, I would. I wonder, Drew, if you would consider adopting me. I mean, I think we're probably about the same age, so that might be kind of awkward. But if you got some room on the property and you need another son, I'm very helpful around the house, and I would like to experience this life because I never have. Ed, let's talk some non-sports stories.
Well, it's time for non-sports segment on the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Non-sports. I'm talking about the segment now. Non-sports segment.
Ed, what is going on in the world of things that are not, in fact, sports?
We've got five RIPs and one death.
Rest in peace. The Ballers hope you rest in peace. You won't laugh no more. You won't smile no more. You won't laugh no more. And you won't fuck no more. So dearly departed, we hope you rest in peace.
Ed, who'd we lose this week?
We lost David Burney, the star. So what we would probably know him as, the ex-husband of Meredith Baxter Burney.
Yeah.
But I read he was the star of a controversial sitcom in the 70s. And I was like, what was going on? Controversial. And it was because it was a sitcom about a relationship between a Jew and a Gentile. And that was the controversy. I was like, Jesus, 70s. Well,
you're living that. Like, was it so controversial back then?
That was the headline. Controversial sitcom. I was like, what?
Crazy. I mean, what a world.
But he was 83. But
didn't,
yeah.
Meredith Baxter Burney go Les?
Yes, she did. But yeah. But I don't know. She might have been the star of – she might have been with him in that sitcom.
Yeah.
I don't know. I only knew her as Mrs. Keaton. But
that's right.
But anyway, he died. Yeah. He was 83.
Yeah. They divorced in 89, so he got a piece of that. He got the residuals, part of the residuals in perpetuity.
George, R.I.P. George Perez. He was a comic book writer and artist. He was 67. I only know that a lot of people were talking about how important he was to Wonder Woman or something like that, but he was famous.
Yeah, wasn't in the comics, still not.
R.I.P. Kenneth Welsh, Twin Peaks actor, 80. Never watched that show.
Twin Peaks.
But I think he was, he might have been like New Zealand or something. I don't know. He was not American.
Oh, yeah. I kind of recognize him. I once saw Sherilyn Fenn at a hotel bar in Palm Springs, and I felt like we had a little energy.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
A great character actor, R.I.P. Mike Haggerty, 67 years old. You might know him from Overboard. He was on
his world.
Yeah, he was great. He was just like, he was the heavy mustache, like gruff talking dude. He was great.
Everybody knows him. He was 67 this week.
Which,
when he died.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
So you're telling me he was like in his 30s and Overboard? Yeah. Like mid-30s?
Yeah, and Wayne's World. Yeah, he was like in his late 30s, early 40s in Wayne's World.
Wow. Yeah. A YouTuber died named Kevin Samuels, who was known for misogynistic advice. He was 56.
We should find one of his videos because he was very funny. Do we know if Kevin Samuels took his own life?
I don't know. I just don't think the world is worse off with him hanging up.
But he was clearly doing a character, right? Like,
yeah, it's not really a beneficial. Like, was he entertaining? I was reading some of the stuff, and I was thinking, like, that's not funny.
He was like a shit poster. He would give advice. And well, hold on. Let's play. I don't have a clip ready. Let's just play a clip and see. Let the listeners decide. He's an image consultant. So people would say, hey, Kevin, like, can you give me some advice on my image? Like, help me spruce it up here. This is just like his sizzle reel. Hold on. I want to find one because my ex still pays my bills. The problem is these are all super long.
I'll let you know when we're ready to go live.
But this is, I just assume this is like, this is like high art, right? Like he doesn't mean to be serious, right? Or does he?
Well, I read one take that said it, he kind of was like, it wasn't a comedy bit. That's the thing. I don't know.
I don't know how it can't be, but I don't know. Maybe we'll find some clips and play them next week. I didn't realize we're going to talk about him.
And RIP Spinal Tap drummer Rick Parnell, a.k.a. Mick Shrimpton. He was 70.
Well, hold on.
Well, I know.
The drummer always dies.
Yeah, cause of death was spontaneous combustion.
Combustion, yeah. So they had like one regular
drummer? He was the one who lasted after some had died. Right, and they lasted. But then I think he combusted at the end of the movie. But
yeah,
then they would sometimes like play actual music shows.
Right. Yeah.
And he was the guy.
R.I.P. I don't know how you do this anymore, but back in the day I had the Spinal Tap DVD.
Yeah.
And if you played it with the director's commentary, it was all the guys in character
talking about it like it was a real documentary.
Talking about the movie, and they're talking about how the manager ripped him off, and they're, oh, he's a cunt. Look at this cunt. Like, it was, it's like so high art. It's like, it's impossible to comprehend because they're, it's like it's real and they're talking shit on the actual people in the movie. I don't know. I'm sure you could find it with that commentary because it's really the only way to watch it. It's amazing.
That sounds good.
R.I.P. Rick Parnell.
There was the rebuttal of the Johnny Depp, Amber Heard. And I was reading, like, Depp called for this to be televised. Like he thought this was good for him.
I think it is. I think it has been good for him because he doesn't look well. I mean, we did find out that he had a real issue with James Franco. James Franco,
son of a bitch.
Oh, Johnny Depp joins us. We learned this week, Johnny, that Amber Heard, while betrothed to you, was probably throwing it around to a younger, up and coming Johnny Depp type, James Franco.
Yeah, I thought Franco was really just fucking his acting students. I didn't realize he wanted to move in on my woman.
Well, I mean, she could have used some acting lessons, don't you think? Maybe.
Come on, Franco. Just go to the Chateau Marmont, and I'm sure Lindsay Lohan would suck your dick in a second.
Yeah, that couldn't have felt good.
It hurt. It stung a little bit. I mean, I'm hoping maybe to get revenge, I'll get the role in Pineapple Express 2.
Oh, yes, well, yes, because James Franco's been actually canceled now. I don't think he's going to work.
No, this trial's really made me look great. So
you're coming back. You're on the way up. Speaking of that, Johnny, one of the more damning parts of Amber Heard's testimony for a lot of people, and I just find this hard to believe, that she's mentioned throughout this trial how much you loved cocaine and that you had that little box for cocaine and that you would often have a jar of cocaine on the table and there was just cocaine everywhere. But then she also, in a bit of a contradiction, said she came home one time and you needed cocaine so bad that you thought she was hiding it from you and you decided you needed to do a full body cavity search, which is kind of hot. What happened there?
You know, I was watching TV and I was watching a commercial and they said 9 out of 10 dentists recommend a cavity search. So I was just following advice. Normal advice.
No dentist recommends a cavity search.
Yeah. Breast, fights cavities. I was just checking for cavities.
It's my understanding. So you guys had dueling expert witnesses, and while your expert witness was celebrated, Amber Heard's expert witness, the psychologist that she brought on the stand to say that she did not have histrionic personality disorder and that she was just fine, her Yelp page has been destroyed. How do you feel about that?
Well, I got my Terry Schiavo army on them, and I'm glad they're doing their Justice for Johnny rallies. I would say I googled on WebMD how to find cocaine, and
yes,
it came back that it's supposed to be consumed by fine actors. And so I feel pretty good. I think I read that. I mean, I had just hung out with Marilyn Manson, so I'm not sure if I was on WebMD, but I believe that's what it said. It said fine actors use cocaine.
Wow. Interesting. Who knew? Amber Heard also said you penetrated her with some sort of a liquor bottle. That can't be true, Johnny. That's not your cup of tea.
Yeah, well, listen. The only thing better than a fine wine
from the
southern region of France.
Is
ingesting a fine wine through your lower body.
Yeah.
From the southern region of France.
Oh, interesting. Yes. I've heard my buddy Paul told me that's how he likes to have his vodka. A butt chug.
Well,
yes.
Let's not be gauche.
Oh, sorry. Pardon me.
We were merely having intercourse with fine wine.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Now, this, no one could have expected this trial to go on so long and garner so much media attention. Johnny, where do you see it going from here? Is this, are you eager to get back to your life? What kind of verdict do you expect?
I think obviously the verdict will go my way, and then there'll be a ticker tape parade, and then they'll just lead me right to the set of Pirates of the Caribbean 8.
Yeah.
And then I'm back on top, and probably I'll have a quiet dinner that night with my good buddies, Peter DeLuise and Harry Aoki. Possibly.
You mean Dustin Nguyen? The character's name is Harry Aoki.
He's a method actor. He stays in character of Harry Aoki. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Grieco, I'm not sure if he's allowed to come because I believe he's on the no-fly list, so I don't think he can make it there.
He did have an issue with he'd had a few vodka crans, and he did a do you know who I am situation when barred from boarding a flight.
Nobody knows who he is anymore.
That's right. That's right. No, it's no one does. Okay, Johnny, we wish you the best. Good luck to you. You're a fantastic guest and such an icon and a talent. Here's to Nick of Time 2 being greenlit soon. It's back.
A vegan who drinks his urine daily swears it's the, quote, secret to eternal youth. And I want everyone to Google a picture of this guy and tell me what's going on with that urine color.
Hey, fam, there's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show.
Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all of